Hello, all my beautiful cinnabar moths or any kind of moth you'd like to be. Welcome to this week's podcast. And today I'm going to be talking about reading as a political act. But I'm going to try and keep it light because I know the world is super heavy right now. And I thought a great example of how reading for escapism can be a political act because it can inspire and create hope and create joy, and joy is an inherently political thing to have. I thought I would read an excerpt from my favorite line about hope, and it's from one of our middle grade books, The Secret Benefits of Invisibility by C.W. Allen, and it's super fun and it's a great ride, a great bit of escapism, but I feel like this quote is really timely. Keeping a light burning might seem like a small symbolic thing, but it gave the people what they needed, hope. Hope that when they felt outnumbered and powerless, when it seemed useless to keep trying, what little they had to offer could be enough after all. The war was not yet over, but the miracle inspired our ancestors to keep fighting. And I think that's such a poignant and timely, and I think it can apply to anything that you're going through, right? We need hope to keep our energy up and to do all of the things that we need to do to keep going. And I feel like keep just something as simple as keeping a light on. I know for me, when I saw people wearing safety pins, that gave me so much hope. When I see people, you know, putting their pronouns in their bios on social media, that gives me hope. Little things like that that tell me what the majority of people are thinking, because what politicians do not reflect what the majority of people are thinking. They don't actually, in any country, and I live in Japan and I see this all the time when I look at Japanese parliament, they don't represent my values. And I don't know of any country where you can see in the political system 100% of anyone's values represented. So when we think about reading as a political act, it doesn't mean that you have to read something heavy or depressing or sad. You can read middle grade YA, a picture book. And, you know, this, and I'm not being facetious when I say a picture book. One of my favorite picture books in the whole world is Snow Day. And to me, that picture book gives me so much hope and joy because the main character is a small black child in this, the cutest little red snowsuit you've ever seen in your life. And they're just going about their day having fun in the snow. And that celebration of Black joy makes my heart sing and makes me feel happy and empowered and hopeful, right? And there's nothing that pushes back against the darkness of political misdeeds than hope. Because hope gets us voting, hope gets us motivated, hope makes us organized. But we also have to take care of our own energy, and we have to unplug and step away from it because it gets so dark. And that's when they win, is when we go dark, right? And there's so many issues that, and so many in every country, you can go in any country right now today in the world, and there are issues that are out there that are just wrong, where countries are just doing things wrong, where somebody's rights are being taken, or somebody's being limited, or someone's being oppressed, or the people aren't being cared for the way that they deserve. And to fight the good fight and to make good trouble, we need to take care of ourselves. And I find refuge in books, and I always have. I like reading for escapism. I also sometimes like reading dark and sad things that mirror what I'm feeling inside, or horror that just really lets me see that it just connects with me. And I'm like, the world is a dark, twisted, messed up place. I love reading something really twisted and dark and messed up. And I'm sorry, Joe Howard's work comes to mind. So I don't think I shouldn't say sorry, but Joe is an excellent horror writer. And Joe's stuff is just really dark and really twisted. And also Tom Howard's work is just as dark and twisted, and I love reading their work because it is so dark and twisted, and it does sort of reflect back. It's sort of like the scream into the void for me. I feel so connected with them, and I feel like they get me. I feel like my anger and my rage is seen, heard, and validated in the horror that they write. And other horror writers, I think, are the same. And I also like seeing stories that are twisted and dark, but you can saying that we can survive the worst that is done to us. And I feel like, for me, the person who does that the most, that like gets under my skin, and appropriately so, is my husband. Not My Ruckus is one of the most disturbing books I have ever read in my entire life. I tell everybody it'll break your heart in the best way. No, this book will mess you up, and it will haunt you for the rest of your life. Like, you will find yourself thinking about it. The narrator had to stop halfway through the book and say some, like, expletives and then go back to narrating it. But at the end of the day, all of these horrors, they survive. And it's not a spoiler. The book's been out for over a year now, and if you haven't read it, you should. Go read it. But I find that these types of books, right, when authors are writing what they know, and when they're writing horror and they've had that much pain in their life that they can write something so twisted and dark and have it be authentic and real, I feel like that speaks to my pain and the darkness in me. And I no longer feel alone. When we have like another really great book by Phoenix Blackwood, The Secrets That Kill Us. And as a former foster kid, this book really speaks to me and my lived experience of what it's like to be in the foster system. And I felt less alone. I felt seen. When we're reading books and we're reading books with a political mindset, I think that sometimes we go to the political books, the heavy books, and we don't look to fiction. And we don't look at, okay, what are the types of authors? What are the types of voices that they want to silence? And no, you know what? I'm going to go read a book from that type of voice and from that perspective. And it can be something silly and lighthearted, and something that isn't as dark, that isn't a screamer, maybe something you don't see yourself in. I don't see myself in The Secret Benefits of Invisibility, except that I do. I was a precocious child, and I did want to be a hero as a kid. I wanted to do something heroic, and seeing kids be heroes and having such an intelligent middle grade book where the adults aren't bumbling fools, it's circumstances that thrust the kids into the spotlight. It reminds me that we have another generation coming behind us that has a completely different political view than all of the old guard. And that's what this is. This is the death rattle of the old guard, because the world is changing. And if you doubt that, look at the level of activism that we see our kids engaging in. So reading stories and turning our kids on to stories that show them that they make a difference and show them that their point of view matters and that we want them to feel empowered, that's a political act. Even when the stories are fantastical, we can take something out of that and say, you know what? Know that you can. Know that one person can change the world. One person can make a decision that changes the world or inspires other people to do like things. So the type of books that we read and the type of authors that we support and the type of lessons that we choose to highlight in the books that we're reading, I think is really, really important. And I'm speaking as a mother of a Black man. And for me, having those stories celebrating Black joy and celebrating him and celebrating his identity and his right to happiness and joy and to just be who he is was a beautiful gift, because I see him moving through the world with a freedom and a carelessness and an abandon that I didn't have as a child. And that makes me feel hopeful, and that makes me feel successful. And I did that in part by the books that I chose to read to him, the authors that I chose to publish, the doctors that I chose to see. So in his life, he was surrounded by Black excellence his entire life. All he saw were incredible Black men being successful and powerful, and incredible Black women being successful and powerful. And the same with our Indigenous family members. We have very, because as y'all know, I'm Black, Indigenous, and Jewish. And for every aspect of our identity, I made sure that our son had literature that reflected our success. And I made sure that he saw that living in the world. And so I celebrate all of these things in the literature I read and the media I consume. Our joy is the most political thing that we can do, I promise you. Our hope is the most political thing that we can do, is not give up and not give in. Because when we give in, they win, right? As long as we're having moments of happiness and moments of peace, and looking at the happy lessons that we can remind ourselves of, and the advances that we can remind ourselves of, and look at the processes that get us to where we want to go and the processes that get us to where we don't want to go, and fight those processes, and look at life as this continuing adventure. And when we choose to read, we become thought leaders. And how we become thought leaders is because we say what publishers are going to publish. The more that we pick a specific type of book to read, the more money that specific genre makes, the more it will be published. We, for better or worse, we live in a capitalist world. And so becoming the great minds and the great thinkers of our time, read, and read any genre. Any genre will teach you new vocabulary words, new modalities of thought, new point of views that you might not be exposed to otherwise. And I think of that even in villains. When I read just truly villainous characters, they present me with, I'm happy that they're presenting me with a new way of thinking, and just being like, wow, okay, I don't want to become a villain, and looking at their path of why did they become a villain. And I'm not talking like the anti-hero villains only. I'm talking about truly villainous characters, and how did they become that way, and what can I do in my life to help prevent, in my sphere of influence and reach, another villain being created. And that immediately makes me a leader. And even if it's a leader of just a really small group of people, looking to make that lived experience better, I think there's a lot of shouting down that goes on in the world, where someone with a bigger platform will punch down or shout down to somebody with a smaller platform, and they may feel helpless. And what I say is, talk to the people you know about that experience and say that this is wrong. And that's how movements are born. They're born with one person saying, this is wrong. And looking and reading, looking at what's being written, whether it be fiction or nonfiction, fantasy, paranormal, romance, whatever that is, look at the different motives that these characters are having. Because this is coming from someone else's mind, they're probably drawing from their own lived experience about an encounter they had, even if it's two or three steps removed, or what they can imagine to be someone's thought process. And I guarantee you, whatever we can imagine, there's somebody with that thought process, just flexing my therapist muscle here. And my lived experience as a therapist and saying, you know, in my over a quarter of a century of doing it, people surprise me. Every modality of thought I've come across, every, like, things I'm like, I wouldn't think when I'm reading fiction, I wouldn't think that would exist in real life. And then I meet a client and lo and behold, that does exist. So my lived experience tells me that getting into literature and understanding different modes of thinking and different motivations, it's such a safe way to explore the dark. And it's also an uplifting way to explore the light. And it's a positive way to take a step back from the heaviness and still be doing something positive, because self-care is positive. And words are so inspirational. And I find inspiration in middle grade. I'm not shy about that. But I also find inspiration in starting a free e-zine. And I was inspired to have an entire issue dedicated to magical women, because I believe that there is magic in everyone. And I felt like right now was a great time to talk about the magic that we have in women. And these stories that I put out, that I read, they made me feel inspired, and they reminded me just how strong people who identify as women are and how strong that identity is. And it's unfair that any part of the population needs to be strong. That's inherently unfair. We should all be allowed to be weak and be safe. And for me, I loved all of the stories that are in the July e-zine focusing on magical women. And for me, I also love all of the authors in this e-zine. And I hope y'all check it out. It's free. It's on Santa Barbara Moss Literary Collection. And that's a political act. It's a free thing that you can do, that, and it doesn't have to be our zine. You can go online. Every click is a political act. Everything you read, everything you consume is a political act, because it creates currency. And even if it's only three people watch a YouTube video, that's three more than zero. And the hardest number to convert when we study this type of thing in marketing is 0 to 1. It amplifies voices, but it also inspires, and I hope inspires and heals the reader or the consumer, because again, we're going for that hope, right? And for me, I just really love words. I just love the power of words. I love the creativity. I love enjoying someone else's creativity. And I do think about the authors when I'm reading their books, and I do look up authors when I read their books. And it's really cool to get to know them and to get to know a part of their mind that maybe nobody in their sphere of friends that haven't read their work. And shame on you if you're friends with a writer, read their work. But you know, I'm just kidding with that. But for me, it's an interesting side of things. And I feel really, really spoiled, because one of my jobs is to read for a living. And I find that so much of what I read works its way into my everyday life. And that to me says, wow, okay, what I consume is really powerful, because I see myself, as my other gig is being a therapist, and I see myself drawing from the literature, be it fiction or nonfiction, that I read to educate and inform myself on how to connect with another human being, which is so powerful, that connection, right? To let another person know that you see them, that you hear them, and that you care about them, and you're rooting for them, can be life-changing. And I've experienced that myself personally. I'm very lucky. I have a life partner who always believes in me, even if I'm having a low moment and I'm not believing in myself. And I'm very fortunate that my life partner also reminds me to unplug and step away from the news and stop consuming things that cause me pain and to pick up a book. So for me, I read for every type of mood that I have or every type of emotion or feeling that I have. I found that there is a book for that. There is a book that will either amplify it or cool it off or help me understand myself when I'm not feeling grounded and I'm not feeling in my body. There is literature out there that centers me and grounds me and gets me back in my body and back in this present moment, because all we have is now. And for me, I'm going to shout out a book that we didn't publish. This isn't just shameless promotion of our authors, even though our authors are the bomb and our books are amazing. But I really love the Time Traveler's Wife. And what I loved about the book is that the Time Traveler says, the only moment that we're guaranteed is this moment right now, today. And I read the book and I just agree with that. And I've read other books that have that same message, and I really do believe in now. And when I stay right now here in this moment, and I start with what can I do to make this moment livable and meaningful for me, and I start from taking care of me, then I find that I am able to do so much more. And sometimes the thing to do is pick up a book or pick up a short story and just shut everything out and just escape into that. And I'm super, super lucky because I get to read books before they're published. So I get to read many different drafts of a book. And I find that journey to be fantastic and wonderful, the editing journey, the author's own editing process, and of course our editor's process. And I also find it interesting to watch authors evolve that write series and write how their voice changes. And I love to read books that authors I enjoy suggest. So I love Goodreads, huge fan of it. And any review sites, I love reading reviews. I love reading reviews because I'm often shocked by a favorite author's perspective on other writers that I don't agree with at all. And it's like, wow, okay, this gives me another insight into another modality of thought. And sometimes the sweetest, the people that write like saccharine sweet books will have the most violent and wild reading taste. And I like that juxtaposition, that dichotomy of, okay, I don't like to write horror, or I don't like to write splatterpunk. I really love writing picture books, but I'm going to read splatterpunk. And I find that to be really fascinating, right? You have just someone who, if you only interact with their picture books, they come across as a sweetness and light and honey and all things good. And then you go to their Goodreads page and they've got all of these like really 5-star reviews on splatterpunk and horror. And that's exciting to me. And it reminds me that even when I think that people are one aspect, that no, that's not true. People are multifaceted. And that leaves me open to communicating with people who at first blush may not seem like they're like-minded. And I've had that experience where people were very close in terms of our shared views and talking about literature and experiencing literature together. It was a safe space to talk about things that we agree on and things that we disagree on without the heat that when we're talking about a specific political issue of the day without the heat and heaviness of that. And I have had my mind changed in those safe spaces. I've had what I believe is an evolution and an opening of my mind and a deeper understanding of my own beliefs and a changing of beliefs that were outdated. I'm in my 50s. There's, you know, so much in the world that exists that I never thought would exist. Social media was never a thing when I was a kid, right? So there was just a lot of points of views that I wasn't exposed to and a lot of thinking that I just didn't know existed. And that's exciting for me. And through books, books were my first entryway into thoughts that were different than my own. And I fight really hard to not say that everyone in any group is truly evil. There are truly evil people in the world. There is true evil that exists. That's just a fact. I try to look for the humanity in those who are supporting the evil, and I find literature helps me do that because it gives me a language and it gives me a safe place to let my guard down, because it's just me and the words on the page, to let my guard down and see, is there any point of reference to where I can enter into dialogue with this point of view and perspective? And if the answer is no, cool. The answer is no for me. I'm not advocating for anyone to turn themselves inside out and extend themselves in that way. But there is a safe way to find out your answers and to find out your desired engagement level and to get to know other perspectives. And in doing all of that is extremely political. But I think for me, the thing I hope for most in all of the world is that we read for entertainment and interest. We read for inspiration. We read to support and amplify voices of those who are underserved and not amplified in the world and not represented enough in the world. And that we also read to become the thought leaders of our generation and to put more positivity out in the world and to find solutions to the most, what may seem like the most impossible problems facing us today. And I look at so much of what was science fiction when I was growing up as a kid that I was reading that just seemed wild to me. You just look at the original Star Trek and the fact that they could push a button and talk to somebody across space and time. Think about the fact that, wow, I can Skype anybody or Zoom anybody in the world. And that was the stuff of science fiction, you know, 30 years ago, 20 years ago. And I don't know how long smartphones have been around and how long Zoom and all that have been around. But read, stay inspired, stay hopeful, and know that that is the biggest political weapon that we have, because in hope there's innovation. And in innovation, there's change. And in change, there's improvement. So I hope everyone out there who's having a hard time will take a break from news and all of the sadness and difficulty that surrounds us and get lost in a really great book and celebrate themselves and feed their hope and practice good self-care. So this is coming from my heart to yours, and I want to thank all of our beautiful Cinnabar moths, or any kind of moth you want to be, for listening to my ramble about hope and how reading is political. And you can even be a butterfly, but I'm not Mariah Carey and I'm not trying to bite her rhyme. And talk to you soon. Bye.